think of the thought that what is the office of the prophet? We're seeing the Lord fulfilling that as one who spoke forth the word of God, and also who had foretold what would take place. So that those two characteristics, foretelling and forthtelling the word of God, is what a prophet would do. Interestingly, of the three things that the Lord is considered anointed, prophet, priest, and king, the only one the unbelieving community saw a glimpse of was that he might have been a prophet. We're reminded in Matthew, when he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah or Elias. Some say Jeremiah. Some one of the older prophets." And we know that Elijah and Jeremiah were prophets. So they saw the Lord Jesus as just someone, just another prophet, a prophet, or perhaps even John the Baptist raised from the dead, who would prophesy as well. So of the one characteristic of the Lord, of the three we're studying today, even unbelievers saw something of him that, although they did not arise to his full character, that he wasn't just a prophet, he was the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. This is what Peter expressed. Yet the unbelieving community would acknowledge at least that they could see something of him that way. Mm-hmm. That wasn't saving faith, but they recognized him in that capacity. Why? Because the Lord spoke the word. He spoke the word. He spoke the truth. Mm-hmm. And in this way, he displayed what a prophet is. A prophet speaks, "Thus saith the Lord." They said of him on the Sermon on the Mount, no one spoke like this. They marveled at how he spoke, because he didn't speak as the scribes and the Pharisees. He spoke with authority. And they would often refer to, "Well, some say this, some say that." That's not how the Lord spoke. He spoke, "This is what the word says."
I think it would be very helpful to understand another aspect of prophet. But also, since we are taking it up from the line of the anointed, because as we have heard, Christ means anointed, is to understand what is anointed is all about. Because there are different works of the Spirit of God, if you want to take it in the line of Christianity, where there is the filling and other works that is mentioned in the Scripture. But it seems to me that every time we read about someone that was being anointed, although literally it means rubbing, or they were applying oil and rub it on a person, that's the literal meaning of what anointing is. But nevertheless, from God's perspective, was given this anointing because it speaks of certain ability given to accomplish an office or to accomplish a service. That's why every time we read of a prophet that's going to bring forth a certain ministry for the people of God, we read that he was anointed. Or kings were anointed. Why? Because they have a special service to rule righteously amongst the people of God, and so forth with the priest. So that's what I want you to keep in the back of your mind. When we consider the aspect of anointing, it was an ability given by God to accomplish and to do a certain service. The prophet, it always helps to go to the original, that after God, God was always the first prophet. He's the first one to prophesy. But apart from God, historically, the first prophet was Enoch. But morally, in the Scripture, we wouldn't have ever understood that Enoch was a prophet unless we go to the New Testament, right? We go to Jude, verse 14, and we will understand that Enoch was a prophet and he prophesied. But the first person morally that was a prophet was Abraham. He was a prophet that in reality did not prophesy the future, or he did not speak to companies or to the people of God. But the prophet, most important thing that we can conclude that the prophet is, other than speaking forth, is really a one that will be introduced to the mind of God. This is what the prophet is all about. Someone that God gives him, and this is why Hebrews chapter 1 comes in a beautiful way, that all these prophets, God gave them a partial thought, what was in his blessed mind, right? Everyone had a partial thought. This is why Hebrews 1 is great when we talk about Christ. That Christ now did not have a partial thought of the mind of God. He had the complete fullness of the mind of God because of who he is.
And that is why he was anointed. There was, of course, those prophets in the Old Testament were also anointed. But it pointed to the thought that God had. God ultimately wanted to anoint a man. And in that connection, I want to read Acts 10, verse 38. That we see the connection. Yes, the Lord Jesus was the prophet, but he was the anointed prophet. And what does that mean? In Acts 10, verse 38, where Peter summarizes the ministry of the Lord Jesus on this earth, that he went through Judea and Galilee and so on after the baptism of John. But it says in Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So this was God's public identification of this great prophet. God said, "This is my man." God had looked for 4,000 years on the history of man. He could anoint a prophet or priest or king in the Old Testament, but that was only partial, if you just saw in Hebrews 1. Now we have what God really had in mind, to anoint a man and to say, "This is my man." God had looked at the 4,000 years of history of mankind, but this was the first and also the last of whom God could really say, "This is my man, this one I anoint." And so when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and rested on the Lord Jesus after he had been baptized by John the Baptist, God opened the heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I found my delight." And so this unction that took place at that time expressed God's delight in him. God identified publicly with him, and he put his seal on him, as it were. There are a lot of thoughts connected with this, but this is how God publicly identified with the Lord Jesus, and he was recognized as a great prophet later in Luke's gospel and so on. But this is God's identification. And so when God identifies this great prophet here, and in Hebrews 1 we have read of him, now we know what God has in mind. And now we can really accept God's thoughts. And so we may enter into these thoughts more and more. It goes bit by bit because we are limited. We cannot see the whole thing in one at once. So God leads us through those different scriptures, as we have on the outline, to help us to see more and more of the greatness of the Lord Jesus.